Mini episode 263 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by First Down Scouting, delivering the most thorough scouting service available, uncovering the NFL stars of tomorrow. Follow them on the web at the number one, stdownscouting.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Okay, everybody. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross breaking down the NFC West. A little bit of a look back at 2012. Look ahead to 2013 as we sit here on the hinge of the two seasons. You have right now in the minds of a lot of people very early Super Bowl picks for next year, a team that did make it to the Super Bowl, and I would argue bitterly was bad play calling inside the red zone on the final drive away from winning the game. That plus a pass interference call on fourth down that wasn't called. The 49ers, it's not customary for a team that loses the Super Bowl to do much the next year, as we've talked about in recent years, although again...
Well, they just don't make it as far. I mean, New England made it almost back to the Super Bowl.
Further than most. Yeah. Further than most. But again, we talked about this going into the Super Bowl, that it is pretty rare in the history of the Super Bowl era for teams to lose the championship game and rebound to make it to the Super Bowl next year. And
that
both San Francisco and Baltimore did that. So San Francisco is showing at this point here they're not necessarily subject to these same boundaries that other teams have. I do tend to agree with a lot of what's been said about the overall athleticism of this team, the skill set. I think they need a little bit of improvement still at wide receiver. That should be a focus in the offseason for them, is to try to get somebody a little more legit opposite Crabtree at this stage of the game. But Vernon Davis in the last two games, the championship game and the Super Bowl, showing that he can work with Kaepernick. I've got San Francisco. They were 11-4-1 last year. It may seem like a regression. I'm going to say 11-5 just because it's such a tough division. But I've got San Francisco still winning this division again next year. And spoiler alert, going far in the NFC.
Yeah, they're just too talented, too well coached to completely fall off the map. I think they are one of the two. I think the two best teams in the league are in this division.
They may very well be.
And what's really interesting, and I'm with you, San Francisco is going to be an 11-5. They'll be right where they're at, where they were at last year. They're going to be a contender to win the NFC. But I'm picking a different team to win the division.
Okay.
And that would be a team that – it's so interesting to me because I remember going back to the beginning of last year. You picked this team to win the division
as
your surprise team, and – I wasn't nearly as high on them at the start of the year. And then by the end of the year, I was as high on them as anybody in America. I'm talking about the Seattle Seahawks. They are my pick in February of 2013 to win Super Bowl 48.
Okay.
I love this team. They were better than Atlanta when they lost. Mm-hmm. If they don't fall down 20-0 in the Georgia Dome and the game's not a 1 o'clock start, they would win that game under any other circumstance. So they had the best point differential in the NFC last year, plus 167. That's 40 points better than San Francisco, by the way.
I'll go with an analogy you might like. They were like Al Gore winning the popular vote in that
yes,
game.
Yes, yes, yes. And here's the other thing, too. You can't discount about Seattle.
Yeah.
If they get the home field advantage, look out, because they don't lose there.
That's true.
They didn't lose a home game. They were, I believe, the only team in the league that did not lose a home game last year. That is correct.
Yeah.
That 3-5 road record. Look, they got better. They started out, they got a bad hand. All their first three division games were all on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They avenged them all at home. Full year of Russell Wilson is the one second-year quarterback that does not, well, of the three main ones, of Wilson, Luck, and RG3. I'm going to exclude Whedon and Tannehill from this discussion.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. He's the one that does not regress. In fact, he improves. This team is just loaded.
They're going to need him running a little less with his frame, though.
Yeah, but he's a good like Kaepernick.
Yeah.
He can throw the ball well.
Right. But they're going to need to rely on that more going forward.
Not only do those two teams battle for the division title, they battle for the number one overall seed in the NFC. And at this point, I will give a slight edge to the only thing that scares me about Seattle is they jumped from, what, 7 wins 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Usually it, when you jump from, like, 7 to 11, it's kind of tough to jump again. You know, I've been real big on that.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. We talked about this. This is the analogy I'm going to make. Going into the championship game, when San Francisco was a road favorite against Atlanta, and we talked about the eyeball test, look at the Seattle roster, and this is a team you talked about a year ago making the jump up. Look at the Detroit roster a year ago, okay? The eyeball test between the Lions of 2011 and the Seahawks of 2012, I think you have to use your own judgment here to a certain extent. Seattle's roster is legit top to bottom.
Yes. There was no – when you have the best point differential
– yes.
11-5 is actually seems a little light. You know, I mean, when you have the best point, you should be like 12-4 almost, it seems. So,
well, they were still finding their way through the middle part of the season with a rookie quarterback.
Do you know what's funny? With all the discussion, and I thought about this several times in the week leading up to the Super Bowl and during the Super Bowl, especially the way things unfolded with Baltimore winning that game over San Francisco, a team that kind of just got hot, and they had come from they played in the wild card round, they were a division winner, but I couldn't help but think the whole time that this should be Seattle, man. Like, it made me, although I was wrong, I don't feel bad. A lot of times you go back, what was I thinking? That was a stupid pick. I have no regrets, no whatsoever, about picking Seattle. Remember, I came on this program about week 13, week 14, and I said, Ricky, I think Seattle's going to win the Super Bowl.
You think if they'd beaten Atlanta that they would have gone through San Francisco and Baltimore?
All I'm saying is, doesn't it seem kind of in – can't you see what I'm saying is Seattle, the way they were playing at the end of the regular season, had the profile of the kind of team that has won the Super Bowl in recent years.
Aside from the rookie quarterback, which is not inconsequential.
That's true, but they were Green Bay. They were the Giants to me.
They didn't look that way.
And the way things were going, they had all the when they took that lead 28-27 on Atlanta, I looked at Cammy and I said, they're winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a minute later, they were done for the year.
They looked
But to me, they had the profile of a team that could win the Super Bowl. And again, they're always great at home. They're not going to lose more than one game at home.
Right.
So if they go 4-4, I mean, this is a gear. San Francisco and Seattle are shoo-ins for at least 11-5. One of them is going to be, 12. Honestly, I could see has this ever happened in the 8-division format since they realigned in 2012? Has there ever been a year where you had a 13-3 and a 12-4 team in the same division?
I don't think so.
I'd love to go back and look.
I'm going
to
have Seattle a 10-6 just because
I
always add these up to make sure that everything comes out the right way. So
okay.
I have them at 10-6 just to make it
up. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm going to look that up to see if that's happened because a reason that I can give them a few more wins is because we're going to differ. I'll leave the floor to you in a second when I look it up, but real quick because I don't think they bear a lot of talk.
The Jets a couple years ago maybe, but I doubt it.
Okay, I'll look it up. But here's the thing, just real quick, because I don't think this team bears a lot of talking about right now.
Okay.
Arizona, I think they're the worst team in the NFC right now, paper, because of the quarterback situation.
Yeah, I got them at 6-10. I think they're going to be okay. I do think Bruce Arians
and he deserved to get that. So
Kevin Cobb is going to benefit from that.
It's so interesting,
but
Arizona.
The Bidwells will become the Bidwells again.
Yeah, but Arizona, so it's funny that, 2 years ago, they started horribly, finished strong.
Yeah.
This past year, remember, they were 4-0 at one point.
But we said at the time.
Yeah, and clearly we didn't believe in them. We didn't believe in them. But
Mirage.
They should win. Again, though, I think they're the worst team, but it's tough to say they're going to be worse than last year.
No, I got them going from 5-11 to 6-10.
I can see them in that range
at the wrong time.
Now, what I'm going to do is because it's very obvious, we both have Seattle and San Fran in the playoffs, obviously. It's very obvious that your surprise team of 2013, I'm going to listen while I look this up.
All right.
Is the St. Louis Rams.
I got them going from 7-8-1 to 9-7 and getting in there, basically, again, in the grid. I have a number of teams at 9-7. That's kind of my gutless way of.
I thought you were really going to hype
this
team up.
No, no. Again, But that's kind of like what I tend to do. I'm a little bit gutless when I make my breakthroughs. I have them like at 9-7 and beating somebody on a tiebreaker. So that's what I'm doing here. But the thing of it is, Kyle, as you said, and you know, not to put myself over, but I will, as I picked Seattle to win the NFC West at the beginning of the year at 9-7. But here's the thing, though. What would you have said to me a year ago if I said Seattle is my pick for a breakthrough team and to make the playoffs? There's always somebody. And
yeah,
that's kind of what I'm looking at here. I mean, what's the closest you have to a breakthrough? I mean, the only thing we differ on is you're picking New Orleans. Well, New Orleans is a perennial contender. You really don't have a breakthrough in either conference.
So you're calling me gutless as well.
Well, just throwing us
both
in that pond.
By the way, it was not that hard to find this. The previous two seasons, 2010 and 2011, mm-hmm. both Baltimore and Pittsburgh finished 12-4.
Oh, all right.
So,
all right. So
I'm trying to
that.
See if there's been anything better though. 13-3 and 12.
I rather doubt that. But again, somebody's going to do this. History shows us. You're always big on history. You're always big on bringing up the profile things here. The profile of recent seasons is that there's going to be somebody that gets in there. And look, Indianapolis and Minnesota also, need I say more? Washington, we were thick with it this past year.
Yeah.
There's going to be somebody coming in there. You and I are already taking 9 repeat teams, which typically doesn't happen.
It's
so
never
what I'm
happened.
Doing is, yeah. So I this is
there
my
was
8 way
though
of,
last year. So
yeah, but this is my way of evening out somewhat the fact that you and I are going so chalk-tastic as to say 9-7 in the NFC. I've got the Giants winning the East. I got Dallas missing the playoffs, Chicago missing the playoffs, New Orleans missing the playoffs, St. Louis making it on like a fluke tiebreaker. That's basically how I have it going.
I do not think St. Louis will match last year's win total. This is the one team I think you and I kind of disagree on the most.
Okay.
I think they were kind of a fortunate 7-8-1. By the way, I just looked it up.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go back far at all. 2008, Tennessee was 13-3, Indianapolis was 12-4. So there is a precedent for that.
Wait, Tennessee was good that recently?
they always had – that was that bizarre year, I think, where they started 10-0.
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah, but St. Louis – let me take a look here. I want to take a look at something.
They had a good defense.
They were 4-1-1 in the division. They beat and tied San Fran.
Toughest division in football.
I don't
that
think –
says
yeah, but I
that
don't
– says something
they
about
are
the
not,
cut of
they
their
are
gym
not
to
gonna, they are not going to match that 4-1-1 division record next year. They will not.
No, but in terms of, you know,
I don't think they match. They could go
AFC South. They're going to win 3 out of 4 there without.
I don't think they'll beat
without
Indianapolis.
Without blinking.
I don't think they'll beat
without
Indianapolis.
Without blinking.
No, Indianapolis is better. I see St. Louis as a 6-10. They're a team you talk about jumping, eyeball tests, things like that. They jump from what, 2 wins to 7 in Jeff Fisher's first year?
I think they're going to have a good offseason. I think with free agency and the draft.
Who do you know? Who are you
going,
talking to?
They're going to.
And by the reason I went so chalk-tastic is because those things haven't happened. I mean, look,
I'm
some team could. Yeah, okay. Oh, you're anticipating.
I'm anticipating. And you look at the defensive core that they had and some of the things they did this past season, and now they're going to be hiring the excellent Dick Geron, apparently, to come in and run that defense. And I expect another exponential jump forward for them.
I see this as a 6 or 7 win team next year.
I got them at 9. I think they're going to make it.
Yeah.
I got them bowing out relatively quickly,
okay.
As you might guess. Here, if we're looking at the overall playoff picture in the NFC, my wild card picks, first weekend, I got St. Louis going into Green Bay and getting their doors blown off in obligatory fashion. And then the other one here, Seattle, they're drawing the short straw here as a wild card. But I got them going into the Meadowlands for what they hope will be the first time in the playoffs.
Whoa.
And beating the Giants. Second round games here. I've got Seattle going into San Francisco and coming up short. I've got Green Bay going into Atlanta and doing them. So I have an NFC championship game that is a repeat of the divisional round this past year, San Francisco v. Green Bay. I have San Francisco winning that one, and then San Francisco over Houston in the Super Bowl. That is my early pick for next year. By the way, and a quick note on San Francisco and Seattle, since we're talking about them as much. I alluded to this when we were talking NFC or AFC South, about Indianapolis possibly being a part of one of the big rivalries of the decade. To me, the leader in the clubhouse for rivalry of the decade in the NFL, starting with what happened this past season, and you look at the history between the coaches in the Pac-10, now going forward to the NFL, Seattle-San Francisco with Carroll and Harbaugh, with Kaepernick and Wilson.
Yes.
These defenses.
Yes.
This has a chance to be the defining
rivalry
over the course of the decade in the NFL. We've never seen one that's concentrated in the Western time zone, a West Coast thing. It'll be very interesting from the league's marketing perspective because they always tend to prefer things in the Eastern time zone or anything. But
well, remember, there would be no East Coast bias if there weren't be so many stupid Midwestern people.
But this is when you're just looking at what happens on the field, San Francisco and Seattle, I'm saying here in February of 2013, is my pick that when we're doing this at the end of the decade, that was the rivalry of the decade.
Wow, that's
in the NFL.
That's a real crystal ball situation there.
Yes.
I think that's the NFC Championship game next year. I think it will work out somehow with an ups
like
where
to
they'll
see
avoid
it that way.
Where they'll avoid each other in the division round and they
How's
will
that possible though? If one of them's the wild card,
the sixth seed would win or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Beat the three. The way I see it.
So you're looking for a contrivance then.
Well, obviously that's the way. So look, here are my six playoff teams. You know, I had Minnesota and Washington dropping out from this past year and being replaced with the Giants replacing Washington in the East, and then as wild, and then New Orleans I have in Minnesota out. I have New Orleans actually winning the division, playing Atlanta in the playoffs.
Okay.
Is the 3-6 game. Give me Atlanta as a 6 seed. There we go. Atlanta, Matt Ryan, I believed in you. He breaks through.
Making up for it. Okay.
I have San Francisco beating the East winner, which I haven't decided if I like Giants or Dallas.
I'll smoke either one.
Okay. And then in the division round, I have the same four teams as played last year, and I have San Francisco going into Green Bay then. They'll win that game. And then I have Seattle avenging last year's atrocity, get Atlanta at home, hopefully in a nice 4 o'clock start, and they beat them. And then
can you petition the league for that, Kyle?
Yes,
Ross?
I don't know. Bottom line is this. Look, we're picking a lot of things 11 months early, but right now, if you put me on the spot, my favorite to win Super Bowl 48 is Seattle.
Okay. I didn't remember favorite coming out of the AFC, though.
I don't want to do that
now.
I'll tell you why, because Houston would be, like, the very conservative pick because I just see them having no resistance winning that division.
That's me, Rand Paul, baby.
And I see that they're going to be, I believe, because, look, Denver was the number one seed this past year, didn't do them a hill of beans. New England, you know, would love to get it, but, you know, I think New England, their concentration is how do we get this done. But I think Houston is the team who's going to want the number one spot more, so they're an easy kind of conservative pick to make. But I,
and that division.
Yeah, but Seattle-Houston doesn't really sound like a Super Bowl, does it? So I don't know, but the bottom line is this. I like Seattle is my – by the way, it's interesting here. This is the only division, as I look at Bovada here, where you have two – teams actually in the top five of Super Bowl odds.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Denver and San Francisco are co-favorites at 7-1. I think Denver's overvalued.
Denver's way too much of a public team.
Yes. New England is right behind them at 15-2. That's 7.5-1 if you're doing your
Another
math at
public
home.
Team.
Yeah, but I mean, we agree that they'll be the Green Bay 10-1. They're the fourth team.
Okay.
And then Seattle's 12-1. The fifth. All those are the five teams that come in better than Baltimore.
Seattle's
by
far the best money value out of those, by far.
Yeah, I mean, they
because if I wasn't picking San Fran, I'd probably be picking Seattle.
It's interesting that you pick. Are you picking San Francisco to win the Super
I am
Bowl
picking
right
San
now?
San Francisco to win the Super Bowl.
It's
over
interesting
Houston.
That we're both picking a team from the same division, but it's not the same team.
Yeah,
you know, we're both picking a team from Southern.
It's
that's
the defining rivalry.
Yeah, that's
it's going
very
to be
weird. That
rivalry.
You know that you know that's very weird. So
well, the other thing too, if you look back at the way you know. This would be making history in a couple of different ways, because if you look back at the last decade, we said it was the triangular rivalry, New England, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh. You go back to the 90s, I think you would probably say Dallas, San Francisco. That was probably the defining rivalry of the decade. The 80s, it was back to a sort of a triangular thing of San Francisco, Giants, Washington. The 70s were interesting because it was like a triangular thing in each conference. I would say Miami, Pittsburgh, Oakland in the AFC. Dallas, Rams, Minnesota in the NFC. It was a little bit more wide open in the 70s. But so you don't generally see this, Kyle. You and I are looking ahead to what would be an era of football in the division that's almost unprecedented. To have a divisional rivalry be the premier rivalry in the league for a concentrated period of time. It could happen because you and I are looking at the, you know, again, like you said, two teams from the same division to win the Super Bowl, and it's not that, oh, well, we're looking at them next year because, yeah, well, they're like Baltimore. They better win it while they can. No. Seattle and San Francisco are on the front end of whatever
young,
they're going to
do. Yeah, young quarterback. Yeah, they're going to dominate for a long time. And,
yeah.
And I look, coming to the playoffs, I said they were the 1 and 2 teams in the league, and I still feel that way.
Yeah, I think so as well. So ultimately, that's how we see the entire thing shaking out for 2013. We've gone on the record this early, Kyle.
Yes, and, you know, this was a division that, other than, honestly, by the way, just one last note in the West, other than Seattle, who it's ironic because I liked them so much by the end of the year, I nailed the other three teams pretty much to a T with the record.
Yeah.
Seattle was the only one. I think I said St. Louis, 6 or 7 win team. I had Arizona at 5 and 11, and I had San Francisco. I obviously didn't factor any tie, but I think I said they'd be 10-6, 11-5. So, yeah, so, I mean, I had a pretty good read on this division, but I really like the Seattle.
By the way, too, and in terms of, you know, we talked about this before, and you said, hey, you know, why can't the Browns do it if these other teams can? This is the NFC West is like a poster child for the entire league in terms of what's possible. As recently as 2010, this was probably the worst division
in
football.
Yeah, remember?
It was a joke. It was
Seattle
a complete
won,
utter
Seattle
joke.
Won the division
yeah.
2 years with a losing
7-9.
Record.
Yeah.
And now it's
what
gonna,
a horrible division.
Now it's going to take, we think, 12-4 to win the division.
Yeah. I think San Fran's at 11-5, but yeah, I mean, basically.
Okay, I think it's going to be 12-4. I really think that San Fran and Seattle are going to be like 12 or 13 win teams.
Although, again, though, like
it's
I said,
tough
like,
in this
like
NFC, but
I have, and this is probably a little more gutless on my part. Like I have a couple teams tied in the NFC for the worst record at 6-10. I tend to have more clumping from like 6-10 to 11-5. It takes a lot for me to, especially in the NFC, for me to put you below the floor or above the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
The NFC is just
I don't see. Like I said, Arizona and Philly, I guess, are the two worst teams still, but they're still like you're right. I'm hard pressed to pick a team to do worse than 6-10 in this conference.
Yeah, it's very hard. Inevitably, somebody will, but I can't identify anybody as of right now. So we got it all laid out, folks. Go get down on it in Vegas or elsewhere. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross have broken it off for you and told you everything that's going to happen in 2013.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.